Folks, just to pick up on where we've been, to jump into verse 4. And as I've said earlier, folks, the theology is one thing. The painful reality of loss and separation is another. And so I want to speak with sensitivity. And yet, this verse, I would say we all know it, don't we? The person, the Lord is my shepherd. His provision I shall not want. He makes me lie in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters in righteous paths as well. To know his peace, the one who restores our soul. To know his presence, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The message in verse 4 of Psalm 23, even when my way goes through the darkest valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Folks, how do we understand verse 4? And what does it say to us today? Even though I walk through the valley. There's a picture here. There's a picture here that I can't do justice to. You'll explain that in a moment. One of the commentators, lots of the other commentators or scholars, actually talk about the way they break up the psalm. Verses 1 to 3, it talks about the sheep and the shepherd. Verse 4 is the lynch point, where it talks about the traveller and companion. I'll pick up on that in a moment. And then verses 5 and 6 talk about the guest and the host, the one who invites us into his home. The sheep and the shepherd, verses 1 to 3. Here in verse 4, the traveller and his companion, and their companion. And then the guest and their host. But actually, lots of the scholars talk about when we are in this verse and we're in the shepherd's psalm, what they're possibly alluding to, what David is possibly alluding to, as a shepherd boy from the past, when it came to the summer and the pasture that was in the lowlands was bare and barren, it had been eaten all winter. And so when it gets to the summer, the shepherd wants to take the sheep to the high pasture. But the shepherd knows the way. The shepherd's been there before. And the shepherd wants to take the sheep to the green pasture. Max Lucado, in a little book that I bought, I found really helpful. Summer in ancient Palestine. A woolly bunch of bobbing heads follow the shepherd out the gate. The morning sun has scarcely crested the horizon, and he's already leading his flock. Like every other day, he guides them through the gate and out into the fields. But unlike most days, the shepherd will not return home tonight. He will not rest in his bed, and the sheep will not sleep in their fenced-in pasture. This is the day the shepherd takes the sheep to the high country. Today he leads his flock to the mountains. He has no other choice. Springtime grazing has left his pasture bare. He must seek new fields. And with no companion other than his sheep and no desire other than their welfare, he leads them to the deep grass of the hillsides. The shepherd and his flock will be gone for weeks, perhaps months. He will stay well into the autumn until the grass is gone and the chill is unbearable. Not all shepherds make this journey. The trek is long. The path is dangerous. Poisonous plants can infect the flock. Wild animals can attack the flock. There are narrow trails and dark valleys. Some shepherds choose the security of the barren pasture below. But the good shepherd doesn't. He knows the path. He has walked this trail many times. Besides, he is prepared, staff in hand, and rod attached to his belt. With his staff he will nudge the flock. With his rod he will protect and lead the flock. And he will lead them to the mountains. I find that helpful to give the picture. Again, some of the scholars say this is a picture of the valley of death that takes you to eternity, to the high place. Others say it's a picture of the Christian life, that we walk through many valleys, and as the shepherd takes the sheep summer by summer up and down through the dangerous valley for their welfare. But it's tough going. This is the picture that's here. But I don't need to tell you, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the darkest valley, or the deep veil, as different translations pick it up. Folks, I don't need to tell you of the pain that we walk through. We have walked through it ourselves as a family in the last year and a bit. There is a depth in the valley. As you walk through any valley and it rises on either side, it is deep. You feel totally immersed in it. You cannot break out of it. You feel like you're stuck in the depth of the valley that you're in and you're walking through. To get to either way, you still need to keep walking. And it's just brutal. It's dark. The valley of the shadow. And shadows are intimidating. Warren Wiersbe says, the veil of deep darkness represents any difficult experience of life that makes us afraid. The veil of deep darkness represents any difficult experience of life that makes us afraid, be that a diagnosis, be that loss and separation, bereavement. Charles Spurgeon makes me cross. Just putting that out there. The shadow of a dog can't bite you, so why be afraid? And there's a sense and there's a logic to what he says. The shadow of a dog can't bite you, so why be afraid? And yet Dave Gibson, one of the other writers, says shadows can be genuinely terrifying places. And maybe today you find yourself in that shadow and you're immersed and you're intimidated by all that's happening around you. And it is the shadow of death. What impacts you today? And maybe it's not sorrow through separation and death. Folks, maybe the valley of the shadow of death, or doubt, or debt, or deceit, or heartbreak, or hopelessness, or ill health, or fear, or family friction. Folks, it can be any amount of things that just crushes us. What do we sing in the modern take of Psalm 23 by Stuart Townend? Though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. That in our pain, we will not know fear. We will know peace. Oh, so easy to say. Peace that comes from deep within. Max Licato again helpfully says, you know, fear is worry's big brother. You get that? Fear is worry's big brother, because our mind and worry and concern just goes to all sorts of places. And then fear creeps in. And it made me think, like I said at the beginning, the theology is great. The reality, well, you know what? I have 6 million questions. And if you just actually turn back in the Psalms, in Psalm 10, verse 1, why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? You ever have that question or those questions raging in you? Why, Lord? And you're perfectly valid to shout at God. He's big enough to take it, but it's perfectly valid. If you look at the Psalms, they're not all happy-clappy. In fact, lots of them, and I know chatting with Dave, lament in that place of sorrow and just wondering what is happening. Maybe for you, there's questions, frustration. Three Psalms over. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, one, will you forget me forever? Two, how long will you hide your face from me? Three, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Why, Lord? How long, Lord? Questions and frustration, folks, that are absolutely valid. I don't know how to express it. I will fear no evil. Well, actually, I am fearful and I'm worried and my heart is so sore. And in this, it also reminded me of Job, who lost so much. Believe it to be a true story, not some pictorial thing. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15. Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Absolutely true. Absolutely right. But maybe you feel more like the dad in the story in Mark 9, whose son is ill. And he brings him to Jesus for healing. And the disciples, well, doesn't happen. Lord, would you heal my son? Do you believe? Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Maybe you feel in your faith today that you're hanging by your fingertips. To know the peace of Christ within this. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. But this is something that comes from inside. It's not something you can pretend. It's not something you... And I want to validate the questions and the frustrations that you have, but also pray that you would know that determination of holding on to the Lord as he holds on to you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:23. Warren Wiersbe helpfully says, in the dark valley, he is not before us, but beside us, leading the way and calming our fears. Folks, I pray that the presence of the Lord would bring you peace in your pain, as I pray that too for myself. A bundle of years ago, Peter and Jane Fleming were home from mission in Nepal with PCI and shared at a night out in Rafu, out in Donegal. And Peter used this beautiful picture about being in Kathmandu, in the capital of Nepal. And he says, you're just surrounded by the Himalayas. You're just nestled in this valley and just surrounded by the mountains. And he says, but many, many days, because of the fog or the cloud cover, you just couldn't see them. You were just busy walking around in a smoggy old town. But in the days whenever the cloud cover cleared, these vast, majestic mountains were there. You couldn't see them on the worst of days, but they were still there. But they were still there. And I pray whenever the clouds descend on you, through whatever it might be, whatever the painful circumstances, that you would know the presence of Emmanuel, for you are with me. How often, folks, well, Peter said, the mountains are always there, you just lose sight of them. Can that be our experience faith-wise? He is always there. Sometimes in the circumstances, valid circumstances, he's always there. David read, and I love this little phrase in Psalm 121, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Does not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, says the Lord. Dale Ralph Davis said, it is not that Christ is closer in the valley, but that we realize in the valley how close he has always been. Let me read you that again. It is not that Christ is closer in the valley, but that we realize in the valley how close he has always been. And I finish with Stephen's verse, Stephen Williamson. Hebrews 13:5, read it front or back. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, says the Lord. Backwards, you forsake, I will never. You leave, I will never.